Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. I believe God has a word for us, don't you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each person that you brought here to share a word with this morning. I pray for the words that are spoken, that they would not be my words, God, but that they would be your words. Soften our hearts to receive this morning. I pray all of this in your name. Amen. So let me ask you, do you or your family have any customs, traditions, things like that? What might some of those be? Anyone want to share? Things that, I ask this because you're probably not even aware of them. One of the things I think of is, what do you do when you first go to someone's house as a guest? What's one of the things that you do? Who said that? Yes, take your shoes off. I'm so glad someone said that, because that's the first thing I would think to do, too. Take your shoes off. Well, I did this at one of my aunt and uncle's house. They live in D.C., and we were visiting years back, and I remember when we got there, me and my family, we took our shoes off. And my aunt, who didn't grow up in Ohio, said, "Why are you taking your shoes off?" I said, "I don't know, isn't that the polite thing to do? You don't want to track through your house," or she could not believe that we were taking our shoes off. And she said, "I don't know, I've never seen that. It must be an Ohio thing." So I'm so glad you said that, because we don't even realize that we have these customs and these things that we do that seem strange to other people but normal to us. So this idea that we have customs and things that we do goes back to Jesus' day too. And that's where I wanted to look this morning. And this story that we're going to talk about is in John. So I would encourage you to turn there in your Bibles. John. And this story is found in chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 2. So I want to read these words this morning. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took his offering, outer clothing, and wrapped in a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now see, in Jesus' day, these ideas of customs and things like that, it was normal for when you go to someone's house, you wash their feet. Because remember, what did they do back then? How did they get around? They walked. Sandals. Their feet were exposed, basically, to the elements. So this idea that they would wash their feet when they, just like we would take off our shoes, they would wash their feet. They didn't have paved roads. They didn't have sidewalks. The roads were made of dirt. So their feet, as you can imagine, pretty gnarly. I picture their feet being dirty, smelly, rough. So just get that nice mental image in your head this morning. So that when, as a guest, it was normal for a servant of the house to wash the guest's feet. Have you ever seen dirty jobs with Mike Rowe? Foot washing could be on that show. From Jesus' day. It was a very degrading job. And according to the Jewish people back then, this job of foot washing was too low for even Jewish servants. So it was a job for the Gentiles, which Gentile is just someone who wasn't Jewish. Okay? So does that, what's taking place is Jesus begins to wash his disciples' feet as they're finishing up eating and things like that. So let me ask you, does this sound strange? What's taking place? Jesus is washing feet, a degrading job that was just too low for Jewish servants. Jesus, King of the Jews, is washing feet. Does that raise any alarms, any problems in your mind? It should, because we should be asking, why was Jesus doing this? Why was Jesus washing feet? I mean, there may have been no other servants in the house. So Jesus, you know, said, I'll do it. Perhaps. But still, we have to ask ourselves, why is the Son of God performing such a lowly task? Is this bothering anyone this morning? Perhaps teacher, that's right. Perhaps, you know, we don't have foot washing, but I think of this in our day's terms. Do any of you have chores still or had chores growing up? One? Okay, we have someone. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I have three brothers, and we have or used to have chores growing up. Now, what kind of chores did you do? What are some normal chores that we think of? Dishes. I still don't like doing dishes. Vacuuming. Laundry. Dusting. You say that like, yeah. Like you had to do it a time or two. Yeah, so these chores, what about cleaning? Just general cleaning. Okay. Now, I don't know why, but we used to have to clean, and part of it seemed like I was the only one to ever get this job of cleaning the bathroom and cleaning the toilet. Have you ever cleaned a toilet? Yeah, some toilets aren't that bad, but you know, some toilets are. Our three brothers, you can imagine. How do you feel when you're cleaning something like that? You might feel gross. You might, you know, it's not a glamorous job. So let me ask you, this is a funny question, but would you let Jesus clean your toilet? How would that make you feel to see Jesus cleaning your toilet? That might, you'd think so, but you know, maybe not. Why allow Jesus to do that? Why would the disciples allow Jesus to clean their feet, to wash their feet? Would this bother you? Why did the disciples just not say anything? Well, it did bother one of the disciples there. If we keep reading in verse 6, it bothered Peter, as we can read. It says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So, I keep coming back to this idea. Can you imagine, because Jesus spoke in ways that are like, make you scratch your head. He said things where you're like, okay, what do you mean? So I imagine Peter to kind of responding the same way. He's like, just that line, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. I imagine Peter, he doesn't really know, he's not really sure what Jesus is trying to say. Let's continue, verse 9. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Again, I would imagine that Peter is still just as confused as ever, because he's probably thinking, why does Jesus need to wash my feet. Like he's saying, that's how it should be and needs to be. But again, we have the context of Scripture and hindsight 2020, right? Let's look at verse 7. You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. See, Jesus had complete command of this situation. He knew what was to come and what was to happen. Just like we can look back, Jesus already knew these things. Jesus was referring to his what? His death and resurrection. But later you will understand, he says. Verse 1 even says, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Jesus was in complete control, complete command of this situation. He had the knowledge that he's trying to explain to the disciples, and specifically Peter. But that's what makes this so significant. And Jesus, he was the master of symbolism. He was the master of metaphors. He uses this lowly task of washing feet to symbolize what? To symbolize the work of the cross that he knows is to come. Verse 8, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. See, Jesus died to what? He died to wash us clean. We must accept that and receive what he's already done. Jesus is serving the disciples there on that night in ways that they barely understand. He takes the role of a servant. And see, the disciples, they can even acknowledge themselves that, okay, Jesus, you're practicing this humility, this humbleness, which is the quality of being modest or respectful. They can see that, just like any one of us would be able to see that. But what they didn't understand, the greater impact of what he was talking about, the greater, the deeper meaning. Eventually they would realize, the disciples would. But right now they're probably scratching their head like, okay, you're washing our feet, trying to explain that there's a greater significance, but they can't put two and two together yet. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, we talk about, you know, Veterans Day and the sacrifice and the service that's celebrated, you know, this time and remembered. But the greatest self-sacrificing servant to ever live, who? Jesus, because he provided the ultimate sacrifice, the self-sacrificing that emptied himself of all of God's glory that was well deserved. He gave up and gave himself as a sacrifice. He died a servant's death. Jesus washed the disciples' feet for them. Jesus took the cross for the disciples, for you and for me. But in our story, what did the disciples have to do? Peter tried to stop Jesus. But the disciples then and us today, we have to allow Jesus to work. Accept what he's already done. What he's washing us from. What he's cleaning us from. The washing that took place on the cross, when we accept that sacrifice, the ultimate service, we are made clean. And this, the saying that I wrote down here this morning, it might be able to stick with you this morning. I wrote clean as feet, perhaps. I know that's kind of a funny image, but when we compare our story this morning, what Jesus is washing, the feet, these nasty feet, and what he's done in our lives, and what he wants to do for everyone is to clean and to wash. Let's continue. Verse 12, there in John chapter 13. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Listen close. I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? If you do them. Jesus tells the disciples that they should wash one another's feet. They should serve one another the same way that Jesus is serving them. A guy named Gary Burge, who wrote one of the commentaries as I was studying for this, he writes this: to serve as Jesus served requires humility. It requires sacrifice. It means taking up the lesser role for the benefit of someone else. That's how Christ served. And that's what he's calling us to do. That's what he's calling the disciples to do here. Christ lived the life of a servant. And that servanthood, that life of a servant, ultimately led to a sacrifice. The lesser role that he took upon himself for my benefit and for your benefit, he is calling us to do the same. So let me ask you this morning, what does your servanthood look like? Is there sacrifice? Is there convenience? It's easy to do what's convenient, to serve when it's convenient. But I believe that Jesus, it wasn't convenient what he did, the example that he set for us. So are you willing to do as Jesus did, pay the ultimate sacrifice? John 15, 12 and 13 says this: my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's pretty extreme language right there. He's basically saying, are you willing to die for your brother or sister? But I wanted to start with that extreme example and follow it up with maybe things that are a little more tangible and able to be grasped. So let me ask you, what about other sacrifices in your life? Things like time, money, your energy. How are you serving Jesus with those things? In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, it says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what the word says. So are you a hearer? Are you a doer this morning? So as I wind this down, there's two things I want to close with this morning. The first is this. In verse 14 it says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. So before one can truly serve as Christ served, you must realize what Christ has done for you, what Christ has washed away. Because I believe one can't really love like Jesus did until they realize how they are loved by Jesus. I believe one can't serve like Jesus did until they realize how Jesus served. When you allow Christ to come into your heart and to wash away the garbage, the things that separate us from God, and a word for that is sin, the things that keep us from his perfect love, when we allow him into our heart and to transform what's there, it truly does transform. It allows you to do endless possibilities in ways that make you able to share the love of Christ with those around you. Because only then can you love, because he first loved you. If you haven't let Christ into your life and heart, I believe that when that happens, an amazing power is released inside of you. Amazing power that transforms. If you haven't, he won't make you. Now, don't get me wrong. He desperately wants to and is always pursuing us. But he won't make you. You have to let him, just as Peter had to allow Jesus to wash his feet. We must allow Jesus to wash our hearts. The second thing I want to leave you with this morning is, if you have experienced this transforming power of Christ, just be honest. What does your servanthood look like? I know this church is a very serving church. I could tell that right when I first came here to interview and do all those things. That's what I came here to be a part of. So I know that as a church, that servanthood is there, that passion for serving others. But what about personally? What does your service look like? Are you serving your fellow Christians? Are you serving the church? Are you serving the community? Are we serving the community as a church, as a body of believers? In verse 17, Jesus says these words, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So he's calling us to serve others. He wants to bless us. He's ready to bless us. So are you a doer of the word? Or are you just simply a hearer? And I don't feel it would be right to not offer opportunities to put this into practice. Coming up December 1st, we have an opportunity to serve the community as a church, where we're going to be passing out hot chocolate and things like that during the parade that takes place just right down here. And that's in your bulletin. And we have a lot more things coming up in the month of December. But see, the great thing is, God's not asking you to do everything. But pray and see what he might be asking you to do. And luckily, as a church, we don't have to do it alone. We get to do it with each other. So I invite Chally, and they're going to close us with a song. And just be honest with yourself with those two things I left you. Do you know that you have been washed clean? And now how are you putting what you've received, how are you giving that to others?